May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I start a sermon like this every once in a while. Really, I'm not going to do anything to you. Just close your eyes and imagine with me. I want you to imagine the Holy Family. I want you to imagine them without that baby first, just Joseph and Mary, side by side, arm in arm, maybe hugging. Maybe they're talking or whispering, making plans for their life together. Mary's stomach is starting to grow with that child inside her, the child the angel announced to her, the child the angel announced to Joseph. Now imagine Mary and Joseph together embracing that little baby for the first time, receiving him into their arms, the fear and joy of new parenthood all mingled together, the smiles and tears, the radiance maybe coming from the light of hope, the presence of God with them and with us in tiny infant form. You can go ahead and open your eyes. Now, perhaps your image of the family, Holy Family, Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, perhaps it looked a little something like this. Very picturesque, right? You can kind of see the glow coming from the baby. Mary and Joseph together gathered around that little one. It's a sweet image, right? A tender image, we might say. One that speaks of the peace and calm of this particular moment. A picture that you might find on a Christmas card, right? Well, here's what we're going to do with this today. That is not the picture of Mary and Joseph that we have in our gospel reading today. The situation before us is not sweet or calm or innocent or tender. In today's gospel reading from the book of Matthew, Joseph discovers that Mary is pregnant before they are married and before they are living together. And you know what that means. And for a woman in their time and place, that may well be a death sentence. Joseph is left to wonder where things went wrong. He might be left with feelings of betrayal or disappointment, frustrated that things hadn't worked out as he had planned and hoped for. So Joseph, being a righteous man, the scripture tells us, decides to end the engagement quietly. A righteous man, who we might notice, does not follow the letter of the law. He doesn't follow what the law of Moses dictates, which would have called for a public stoning and execution of Mary. A righteous man who is living in accord with some sort of law that's not written about in his holy scriptures. We have in Matthew an image not of a peaceful, joyful, calm and all is bright kind of holy family. We are all ablaze with the love and the joy that a new child brings. Instead, we have an image of two broken families, broken-hearted and publicly embarrassed. An image of betrayal and distrust, disappointment and disillusionment. An engagement broken, and a child to be born whose father is unknown. This family situation is messy, even bleak, and kind of scary. And that is when the angel arrives. That is the moment when God breaks into the story. That is the family and the situation, if we are honest, into which Christ chooses to be born. Jesus is not born to the perfect Joseph and Mary depicted on our Christmas cards. He isn't born to some beautiful stained glass couple. Jesus is born into a family that is imperfect and fearful. The author of the Gospel of Matthew is careful to point this out for us, not only here, but also at the beginning of the book. To start the story, Matthew lists the genealogy of Jesus. And now, genealogies are not usually very interesting, right? So-and-so begot so-and-so, who begot so-and-so, and so on and so forth. Not very exciting stuff. But if you know how to read this one, the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew is quite interesting. First of all, it contains four women, which is very strange, because usually these sort of things are tracked through the father's line of the family. But the women who are included are even stranger. Tamar, who tricks her father-in-law into impregnating her because she has no children. Rahab, a foreign-born prostitute who helps the Israelite army. Ruth, a widowed woman from a foreign land that's also often seen as the enemy of the Jewish people. Bathsheba, the wife of David, whose story is complex to say the very least. The Gospel of Matthew wants us to know that Joseph and Mary are just part of a long line of mixed up, imperfect, and complicated people in Jesus' family tree. God chooses to come among people who are imperfect and doubtful, people like us. God chooses not to be born to the it couple that has it all together with a noble heritage and an uncomplicated family life, but to a young, inexperienced wife and a doubtful husband. It may sound strange, but that is the good news for us here on the fourth week of Advent. The good news is that life is messy, even scary sometimes. And that is just the place where Jesus chooses to show up. God chooses to come among us in the most messy and most ordinary of ways. That's why our depiction of the prophet Isaiah's promise today is not very fancy or captivating. It's not as pretty as the waterfall we had in worship last week, right? This is ordinary. An ordinary crib for an ordinary baby that might be born into an ordinary family. It's good news because our lives are ordinary. And messy families and complicated situations are common. We have broken families, or mended families, or blended families. We have kids born out of marriages, and marriages that don't work out. I'm kind of hoping that none of you have tried to seduce your father-in-law, like Tamar, but our family dynamics are pretty complicated nonetheless. We have doubts that God is at work through us, or doubts that God is at work at all. We might have trouble finding the hope that the prophet Isaiah speaks about, or trouble finding the joy that the Christmas carols proclaim. And the world beyond our own hearts and our own homes is no less complex. News coming out of Syria has been so bleak in these last days. You can't turn on the news without hearing about the climbing civilian death tolls in Aleppo. Just a few hundred miles away from where the Prince of Peace was born. War is killing children and ripping families apart, and no one seems to know how to stop it without causing greater destruction. It's heartbreaking, and it's scary, and it is totally out of our control. We do not live in a world that is just a beautiful snow-covered wonderland like we might see on a Christmas card. In fact, yesterday's fluffy flakes that were falling so nicely in the morning have now melted into this lovely muddy mess that we have outside. And maybe that's fitting. Because if we are honest about the state of our world, it is a place that is covered in mud and in blood. It is messy and dark. We are not people who fit the mold of the perfect Joseph and Mary Christmas card family. And neither were Mary and Joseph. We can focus on the majesty in today's story, on the appearance of an angel to Joseph in a dream. But if we do, we might just miss the actual man, the very man that the angel has come to speak to, the very earthly father of Jesus, an ordinary man with doubts and fears an ordinary man trying to do his best with what his lot in life has given him, with a situation that feels so very out of his control. The sooner we can realize that Joseph and Mary are not stained glass windows or Christmas card pictures, but real flesh and blood people like us, the sooner that we can realize that we are real flesh and blood people like them. And just as God chose to work in the world through them, so God chooses to work in the world through us. And just as God chose to arrive in the mud and the blood of their real lives, so God chooses to continue to arrive in the midst of our messy world. That is the hope that the prophet Isaiah reminds us of today. That is the hope to which the Gospel of Matthew testifies. And that is the hope to which we cling in the midst of our own very real and very messy living. Thanks be to God. Amen.